405 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday. We're almost there. We're almost there. Friday, that is. Just got a wonderful photo. My bracelet hookup. My bracelet connection. My bracelet bestie. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Emily. Emily Morrissey. Emily'sBracelets.com. Shameless plug for Emily. Now, I mentioned that, for two reasons. First of all, I am, as we speak, on the nomination page for the Best of Richmond. See, I didn't even bother you in the first hour about this. I told you I'd be so thoroughly obnoxious and annoying until, when is it over, Germ? June the 4th? Like a vault. All right, you got a long way to go. So I took a little pity today, but I'll double the annoyances this hour. Go.richmond.com/the best. Go.richmond.com/the best. So I'm looking at the nomination page. Emily's Bracelets nominated for Best Jeweler. Very cool. And I got a photo from the fulfillment division of Emily's Bracelets with a photo. Well, the photo is not with a photo. The photo is a photo. There we go. Of some brand new thin blue line bracelets that I'll be getting the handoff from Emily and the team this Sunday at the Big Vail event at Greentop in Ashland. And, you know, everybody who gets our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor presented to them gets some lovely gifts. And it includes a thin blue line bracelet. So I'm just about out. In fact, I think I gave our honoree this month the last one. So, yeah, I definitely need the refresh. I'm also looking, FYI, the Best Bakery, now that we're thinking about our Lieutenant Jan McTurnan Blue Friday honor. My friend Laura Sylvester, the Pie Safe Baking Company, she donates a gift certificate each and every month, and she has been nominated, the Pie Safe Baking Company nominated as the best bakery, so obviously you should be nominating her as well. Here's the way this works, and this is why I'm mentioning it to you. This is not the voting just yet. What do we have to get to, Jerm? Is the top five that we normally do? I think that's what it is, right? Top five in each category. So, yes, I am going to ask you to please nominate The Jeff Katz Show for Best Local Afternoon Radio Show. If you will do that and help us to win this year, and, you know, if I'm around next year and we win it next year, then that would be 7 years in a row. And that would be very cool, yes. But in addition to that, you know what it means? I will never, ever have to bother you about it again. Because if you win 7 years in a row, the Richmond Times-Dispatch people simply take you out of the competition. That's it. You've done it 7 years in a row. Thank you very much. Now go away and give a few other people some opportunities. So I'm hoping that we can actually get to that situation. But again, go.richmond.com/the best. No, they don't ask you for a huge amount of information. You do have to provide an email, and you can give any email you want. Not that I'm encouraging anybody to come up with a secondary email for stuff like this, but if you do, it'll be just fine. Okay, we do have Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard, who's going to join us at 4:35. Carl is also a big supporter of Emily's Bracelets. He's purchased a lot of them throughout the years, and we team up, as an example, for Special Olympics of Virginia. But Carl's going to be with us. We'll talk a little bit about Police Week. Today is Peace Officers Memorial Day. This is the day set aside to honor the line of duty deaths. We have begun over the last couple of years to start talking as well about deaths of law enforcement officers that happened at their own hands. Suicide in the profession, unfortunately, is a very real problem. It's a difficult job on the best day. And it is a really difficult job, an exceptionally difficult job on some of the other days. What I can tell you, and I share this with you, one of the reasons that I have been a volunteer police peer counselor for so long, is that one of my old partners shot himself. And it was a very bizarre situation. We worked together in the city. And he then went and he got a job in a suburban police department. Really well-regarded suburban police department. With all of his background in the city, we knew he'd be a great cop. They knew he'd be a great cop. They didn't have to invest a huge amount of money, as an example, because, well, he'd already been through the training, right? Most places now across the country, once you've done your police academy training, you get some sort of a certification or some sort of a number. In Pennsylvania, we called it the Municipal Police Officers Education Training Commission. And then that was it. It was like, okay, well, we can save this money here in our beloved Commonwealth. We've got DCJS. So it saves some money. That can be a bad thing, right? If you're an agency that's gone out and recruited, you've got some of the best, you've devoted that time, that money, and then they say, oh, by the way, thanks, got a better offer, more money. It happens. So my partner got an offer. He was out. He wanted to do that. I think he, after his time in the city, and he'd been on the job a long time, was like, you know what? I don't want to be here anymore. This is not where I want to be. I want to go and do something else. So he got a great job. Money was far better. Benefits were far better. Everything, at least on paper, was just really, really better. It was not nearly as active as it was in the city, but it wasn't so quiet that he would be bored. But there were other issues at work that none of us really knew about. And he wound up making a radio call. And he told the dispatcher, hey, I'm at such and such a building, some sort of a commercial building. He says, and I'm in the back, and this door is open. I think there might be somebody breaking in. And he said, I'm going to go in. I don't know that the dispatcher said, hey, wait for somebody else to come, because they had in that township, they had one guy patrol cars. No idea where back. I mean, I just don't know anything about that department. But he went in. And he got in there, and then a few moments later, keys the mic again and says, hey, there is somebody in here. And then, a few moments later, calls and says, I've been shot. Well, what happens everywhere if you have an officer down? It's all hands on deck. You fundamentally have to try and just drop whatever you're doing and get there. And that's what happened in that area. Everybody from that department, that township, They were all there. And I don't know how many guys they had on the street. It was a pretty good sizable agency. I don't know, 100, 150 officers, something like that. And then surrounding areas, because it then went out in a countywide notification for, it's called Bucks County. It's just north of the city. And so there were just, there were a million guys that were showing up to find out because my old partner had reported he had been shot. And sure enough, he had been shot. He was alive, but he had been shot. But it was really weird where he had been shot. He was shot kind of on his side towards the back, like somebody was behind him, maybe. And I think that's what everybody thought at first. Oh, whoever had broken in kind of creeping around and crept up on him and shot him. He was probably turning, because look where the bullet hit. Well, they got him to the hospital, and they said, you're going to survive. Now, did you get a description of the perp? Yep. And he described the shooter. Would it surprise you, would it shock you to know that when everybody started looking at the artist's sketch, it looked exactly like him? he had a lot of issues that he needed to deal with. This is the only way he knew to ask for help. Now, it did a lot of things. It fundamentally ended his law enforcement career. Cost him what would have been his pension. He wound up being charged criminally and going to prison for it. Now, I don't know what the right thing would have been to do. I mean, you got to be held accountable. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm just telling you, there were signs along the way that at that day and time, late 80s, early 90s, we just all sort of walked past and ignored. And so that's why to this day, even though I haven't worn a uniform or pushed a car around in decades, I still volunteer every chance I get in terms of peer counseling and support for law enforcement. I'm trying to get the schedule together because here in Virginia, how fortunate are we? DCJS actually has an approved peer counselor program. And I got the approval to go through it. Now I just have to work it out schedule-wise. But it's just something to think about because today, Peace Officers Memorial Day, we always talk about line-of-duty deaths. And most of us think, okay, somebody got shot by a bad guy or somebody got hit by a car. But there are plenty of folks who have turned their own firearm on themselves because they weren't capable, they weren't equipped to deal with the pressures of the job. And I'm certainly at the point where I see them as a line of duty death as well. 416, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRP. 422, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Oh, lovely, lovely note here on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I volunteer as a friendly visitor with people who are in hospice care at home. And separate from that, I am a primary care provider at a free medical clinic. And you are right. Volunteering makes all of our lives better. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? If you have the opportunity. Now, I know some people are saying, right about that, I just don't have the time. Fair enough. I'm not telling you that you do. But I am saying if you do have the time, might be something you want to look into. Somebody else here on the James Rivera text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I heard Mark Warner earlier today. He is extra constipated today. Yes, well, he is ever constipated. That's kind of the way that, every time I see him, to me, it just, honest to goodness, looks like he's, you know, trying to do a grumpy or something. It just is a weird, weird situation. Weird, weird situation. Now, Brian Maloney was here a little bit earlier, just a little dose of pure politics. Every once in a while, we do that. I hate politics, as you know, and have zero interest in being an active candidate ever for anything. I've said that. Time and I've said it for years, but all of that being said, it is kind of like a spectator sport at times. And Brian does a great job of analyzing that. One of the things that he was talking about, and you and I have been talking about, is this sudden rediscovery of the issues surrounding Joe Biden. The Department of Justice, under the direction of Attorney General Pam Bondi, is apparently going to be looking into those preemptive pardons that were signed by the Joe Biden auto pen. And what they're looking into is whether any of them are valid. You remember, very last day, in fact, even worse than just the very last day, it was while President Trump was getting ready to take the oath of office. Remember that? The very last seconds of the Biden administration, so-called preemptive pardons were given to certain people, including that Anthony Fauci character. Well, we all know that Joe Biden was not up to signing any of them. So the Attorney General apparently is going to be looking into them and trying to figure out if they are or are not valid. That is going to be absolutely fascinating, and you have to think that probably ends up at the Supreme Court as well. Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard joins us at 4:35. It is 4:27, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It's lovely, if you ask me. 80 degrees. Humidity's not terrible. I mean, it's there, but it's also the middle of May in Central Virginia, so not unexpected, but not bad, really. It's a good day to get outside or at least open a window. Not that bad. You got to have the AC on just yet, I would say. We get a lot of great stuff we're dealing with as we head through the afternoon. I got to tell you, tomorrow, Dr. Dave Bratt's going to be dropping by. We'll talk a little bit about some of the investments we're hearing from President Trump, all this money that apparently is coming from the Middle East and all the tariff stuff that was supposed to be the end of the world. It does not look like it's going in the direction some of the pundits said that it would. But today it is Peace Officers Memorial Day, and we're in the middle of Police Week, and we've been talking about it. Obviously, it's very near and dear to my heart. But Peace Officers Memorial Day, we talk about these line of duty deaths. And Chesterfield County has a rather interesting distinction, and that is one of the things that I want to talk about with my friend, Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard. Sheriff, thank you for being here, sir.
Hey, Jeff, thank you for having me here today, especially this week as we recognize Police Memorial Week and all the sacrifices made from our men and women across this nation every year.
Tell me, from your personal perspective, as someone who has dedicated his life to service in that law enforcement community, what does this week mean to you?
It's hard to describe. It's a for me, there's three names on Chesterfield Police Memorial of three falling officers, and I did 30 plus years with Chesterfield Police before coming over to the sheriff's office. That was Ryan Capoletti, Gary Burrow, and Craig Rath. All died in the month of May, by the way, separate incidents, several years apart. But all three of them worked for me at one point or another, and I knew them personally. So, it's when you know somebody who's made the ultimate sacrifice, it hits you a little bit harder than just knowing that people are out there doing it for you. These are all young men, great men, and they all made the ultimate sacrifice for the citizens of Chesterfield County. So this week is very very emotional, very solemn for me.
It's a sober sort of an experience for anybody who's been in this profession. But do you find yourself heartened to know that even with their sacrifice, there are still good young men and women saying, "Sign me up! I want to be part of this. I've got that servant's heart."
Yes, I mean, people are still coming at the profession, mind you, not like they did in the 5 years ago or before that. It has changed, and we know it's changed. But there's still people coming into profession, and it's still a very, very honorable profession to be in. I know there's been a lot of dialogue over the last few years, but to serve your citizens in law enforcement, and Governor Youngkin always puts it right, and so does Attorney General Jason Meares. What other professions have to put a bulletproof vest on before they leave the house to go to work? It's just one of those professions that, yes, you may have to make the ultimate sacrifice. We never think about it. It's never on our mind. What's on our mind is serving our fellow mankind and doing the best we can to create safe environments for all the citizens.
It's a rewarding profession as well, is it not?
I think it's extremely rewarding. Every time you see law enforcement portrayed in the media, you're going to see the negative, the one-offs, and there are have been some bad police officers have done some bad things, and they're a handful, but that's what you focus on in the media. Unfortunately, that's what you see. But every day, Jeff, every day, law enforcement officers across this Commonwealth and this nation are saving lives, helping people in distress. Making people's lives better every single day. You'll never see the media cover that.
No, you never will. Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard is joining us. We are in the middle of Police Week. Today happens to be Peace Officers Memorial Day. Carl just referencing three officers on the memorial down there in Chesterfield that actually actually worked for him. This is about as personal as it gets. I appreciate that insight, and I hope that people who are listening, Carl, who have not done the job and don't necessarily understand what goes into it, but those sacrifices, those challenges, you said, as Governor Youngkin said, as Attorney General Jason Miari says, only profession out there that puts on that bulletproof vest to go to work, and then you run towards the sound of the gunshots, not away.
Absolutely, and we do without hesitation, because you can't hesitate. And while we're running towards the sound of gunfire, Jeff, we're not asking, you know, what is your sex, what is your race, what is your political affiliation, what is your belief on this, what is your belief on that. We don't ask those questions because it's irrelevant. We're there to serve our citizens regardless of anything else, free of any prejudice, free of any biasness. We're there to serve and do the best we can to make everybody else's life safe and secure.
Well, and that is absolutely being done on a daily basis. You and I had the opportunity a few weeks back to be part of an event over the Better Business Bureau serving Central Virginia. We're both good friends with Barry Moore, who's the president, the CEO over there. He asked us both to come in and share a little bit about communication and what have you. You spoke about bluff, B-L-U-F. Leaving that last F off. I had never heard this before. I don't think anybody in that room had ever heard this before. And everybody, I don't know if you noticed, everybody wrote this down. There wasn't a single solitary person in that room, Carl, who didn't write it down and try and understand it. Do you mind sharing that with our slightly larger audience today?
Sure, I appreciate that. I am blessed to have had several very good careers underneath my belt, and I did over 30 years with the Coast Guard, mostly in reserve status, but a lot of active duty time with them. And in 2006 and 2007, I had the honor, really, to be assigned to the Pentagon, and I worked out of the Pentagon in an office working on African affairs and NATO affairs. I had a young Marine colonel at the time by the name of Peter Pace. May sound familiar. He went on to become the chief of staff, just a wonderful guy. But I was also working for, at the time, Donald Rumsfeld, who was the Secretary of Defense. And, you know, if you can imagine the amount of information that flows in the Pentagon every day and all the decisions the Secretary of Defense has to make every day with everything going on in this world, you can't get bogged down with knowing every single detail, every single fact of every single thing. So you put your faith and confidence in the people you put in place beneath you to know the answers. So Donald Rumsfeld, as Secretary of Defense, would make massive decisions on our defense based on bluff. And it was just literally a 3x5 index card, and bluff stood for bottom line up front. And he wanted us, you know, the people he put underneath him in these different areas with the expertise, to give them the bottom line, one or two sentences on what is going on in this country, this nation, what's going on with this war, what's going on with this defense. And he just wanted that one or two lines for him to know what he needed to do, trusting that, you know, we knew what we were doing in our research and our intelligence to give him some good guidance, because he just couldn't be bogged down with facts for every single thing going on across this globe every day.
Is that something you've put into practice in the sheriff's office? I'm just curious.
Absolutely. I'll tell you, I worked for another general who had he would have a meeting. He told us his meetings were 1 hour long, and most meetings would run long, but he would look at his watch at 60 minutes, and it doesn't matter where we were in the middle of a presentation, he would get up and just walk out of the room and leave. And he did this just a handful of times before we got to realize, all right, folks, we've got to do this in 1 hour, because in 1 hour, he's getting up and he's walking out. So we had to be concise and clear in our communications. But it is something I've brought both into the police department and into the sheriff's office where I am now, in letting my folks who I put in command positions beneath me to have the empowerment to know what they're doing and to just give me that bottom line up front. Just tell me the one or two sentences I need to know to make an important decision.
I want you to share as well what you've done in the Chester County Jail, Chesterfield County Jail, because this is one of those things. You and I are about the same age. We spent time doing this and that, and very different attitudes many years ago when we were out on the street arresting people, thinking, well, that's it. I've handed them off. Not my problem anymore. You, for how many years now as sheriff?
In my 12th year as sheriff.
Okay, so 12th year as sheriff, you've looked at the people who have come through, as we sometimes call it, Uncle Carl's bed and breakfast. You don't want them coming back, and you know there's some underlying issues. You've taken the lead. I mean, the HARP program that you instituted down there has spread, I mean, really around the world at this point. What was the point where you said, okay, arresting them is simply not the end of the process? In many ways, it's the beginning of the process.
Well, I started this in March of 2016, and what really made me start it was watching inmates, people getting arrested off the street, come fresh into our jail, walking through the hallway, and as they passed my deputies, saying hello to my deputies by their first names. And I'm like, well, how do you know his name? Well, I've been here 6 times. I've been here 18 times. I've been here 20 times. And it just hit me that this is such a ridiculous cycle that we're in of recidivism, where, you know, the definition of insanity, keep doing the same thing and expecting different results every time. And I said, we've got to do more to end this cycle of recidivism. And not only does that help me put productive members back into our community, but there's a substantial cost savings when somebody doesn't come back to my jail, which right now costs about $60,000 a year to house. If I can keep them out of my jail, I'm saving taxpayers millions of dollars. Now, I will say we've had 2 extensive studies done on our program, and our recidivism rate at the Chesterfield County Jail is 18%. The national average, Jeff, is 70%.
Wow. Well, all the more reason to keep doing what you're doing. Sheriff Carl Leonard is joining us, of course, the sheriff of Chesterfield County. One of the things that you and I have done throughout the years, Carl, we've teamed up for Special Olympics of Virginia. And last week or thereabouts, you sprung an idea on me that you thought was brilliant and just, God, the worst idea I have ever heard in my life. Where are we? What are we doing? Are we doing something? I see now, I'm still looking for an alligator because I'm all on board with alligator wrestling, but you got one or two other ideas. Are you sticking to what you came up with?
I think that's clearly in your court right now, Jeff. You know, we have some great listeners, and this was from one of your listeners, mind you. And mind you, your listeners are ones who said we should walk on fire, that we should get tattoos, that we should wrestle alligators, that we should take a snake bath. But there was also listeners who said that maybe we should get Jeff out on a roller coaster in the front seat to go for a ride.
I've consulted with my doctor, and he says I can't do it because I would be sick.
You would be sick. But the burning coals on your feet and the tattoos and the everything.
Oh, no, they were cool, man. If you would like, I've got one for you. How about we get tattooed while walking across burning coals, huh? Now it's back in your court, Sheriff. See what you make of that.
I think it'd be a better tattoo on a roller coaster as it's moving.
Oh, man. All right. Well, look, I will take it all under advisement. Do we have anything other than that? Like lion taming? What about lion taming? What about a nice retired lion? He doesn't have any teeth left. I mean, he's big and scary, but, man, totally toothless. I think that would work.
Well, we'll count on your listeners, your great listeners, to come up with some more ideas for you. And again, we'll start talking about this more in earnest around September, October.
Okay.
For sure.
All right. Fair enough. Carl, we love you. We love what you're doing down there in Chesterfield County. Please keep doing it. And really, thank you from everybody in the community, man. You're good people.
And thank you for what you do. I really appreciate it. And keep on supporting the men and women in blue. Thank you, sir.
You got it. That is Chesterfield County Sheriff Carl Leonard. He is a good guy. And we are looking for ideas for our Special Olympics of Virginia fundraiser. And now, all kidding aside, I can't do roller coasters. Now, and the reason I can't, I mean, there are a lot of reasons. Reason number one is Carl likes roller coasters. So how is that a big deal for him if he likes doing that? Look, I like sitting on the couch. I don't think anybody is going to, well, maybe that. No, probably not. But no, because, you know, with the back stuff, it would not be good for my back. So we can't do the roller coaster thing, despite Carl's desire to get me up in one of those. But we got other opportunities here. The snake bath, anybody on board with that? We would get in a giant tank, basically, and we would be covered in snakes. And I think we each would have to do 10 minutes sitting with snakes. What do you think? I still think alligator wrestling would be a great thing. Now, of course, we are short one alligator. If we could get an alligator, then that would be okay. I would stick my head into the mouth of a lion or a tiger, assuming it was a retired lion or tiger or bear. Oh, my. I don't know. Whatever. Something. Shoot me a text on the James River Air text line, would you please? 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Friday Eve. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the efforts from the Chesterfield County PAL, Police Athletic League. Some good, good stuff going on down there. It's gotten very active in the last couple of years. You know, the other Jeff Katz, the real Jeff Katz. Chief Jeff Katz? Yeah, absolutely. He really made sure that the Police Athletic League was up and running. And I got to tell you something, they're doing great stuff. So we're going to do a little bit with that at 5:35. One of the things that we have been dealing with, the Supreme Court. No, we have. We've been watching it. Have you not been watching it? Because I've been watching it and listening to it. And I'm thinking the left-wing judges, the Sotomayors and the Kagans, they seem to, how do I say it nicely, they don't seem to be residing here on planet Earth. Because all of these legal matters that are underway right now, they're all designed to torpedo the efforts of President Trump. They're being filed in certain parts of the country, specifically because the judges in those districts are far left-wing judges, a lot like those justices. And they're imposing these nationwide sweeping decisions and bans and restrictions. Somebody at some point has got to hold them accountable. Somebody at some point has to say, you cannot do this. And instead of dealing with that issue, those left-wing justices are saying, oh, you know, way back when Trump was in office the first time, some of his folks filed stuff in Texas because that was favorable to him. Some of his folks. It wasn't a full-time effort. Now, it's a full-time profession for the left. They can't win. They can't take these real victories away from President Trump anymore. And so they're left shopping for judges. It's ugly. It is 4:56. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.